Good evening, and welcome to the Christmas Eve service here at Union Congregational, where no matter who you are or wherever you are in life's journey, that you are welcome here. And I love this time of year because I not only get to see people that I see every week, but now I get to meet their families as well. And just to warn you, don't hear all the stories that you know, I won't believe all the stories that I'm told about you. You don't believe all the stories that you hear about me. Is that a deal? But it's wonderful to have all of you here this Christmas Eve. Tonight we are going to be reading the Christmas story. We are also going to be singing a lot of familiar songs for the Christmas season. And then we'll have a short message. My dog Caesar is here this evening, and he will be part of the message. And if you are allergic, you might want to move into the inside of the row, or if you don't like dogs. I've been practicing with him all day. He gets bored about halfway through, and he goes and wanders. Today he laid under and took a nap under the piano, so he might come and greet you and say hello during the sermon. So with that said, let's open in prayer. And then we will get started. God, thank you for this time and this season. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, into this world. We thank you for giving us the hope and the joy and the peace and the love. And we ask that you come and be with us during this service and be in our midst and reveal yourself to us during this time. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Luke 1, verses 26 through 38, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said,
"Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you."
But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will come in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end."
Mary said to the angel,
"How can this be, since I am a virgin?"
The angel said to her,
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be most holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God."
Then Mary said,
"Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word."
Then the angel departed from her.
Let us stand and sing, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." Skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled. still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely place, they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babel sounds the blessed angels sing. Yet with the woes of sin and strife the world hath suffered long, beneath the angel string have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. At war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. You may be seated.
The second reading is from Luke 1:39-45. Mary visits Elizabeth. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry,
"Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord."
Thank you. A reading from Luke 1:46-45, Mary's Song of Praise. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This ends a reading.
Let's stand and sing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
You may be seated. A reading from Matthew 1:18-25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Let's remain seated and sing, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." How still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the
the silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ was born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep and angels keep their watch of wandering love, O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to all the earth. O holy child of Bethlehem, send on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
The fifth reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth, laid him in a manger, and because there was no place for them, he was born. There was no place for them in the inn.
Let us stay seated and sing the first Noel. Say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, Noel, Noel.
The sixth reading is from Luke, verses 8 through 14, the shepherds and the angels. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The word of the Lord.
Let us sing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Sing glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Luke 2, verses 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us."
So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them.
But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them.
Let's stand and sing, "Angels We Have Heard on High."
Singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria. Excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Say, what may the tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Christ, whose birth the angels sing. Come, adored on bended knee, God, our world now entering. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria excelsis Deo.
You may be seated. For those who came a little bit early, you have met Caesar. Caesar is a six-year-old German Shepherd mix. I adopted him about 2.5 years ago from a little town in Washington, Iowa. And I lived in Davenport, Iowa, and it was about an hour away. And yeah, you can pet him if you want. He'll probably lick your hand. So now I was looking for a dog for about 3 years. And when I saw him, I found him on Pet Finder. And this was his picture. Yeah, wasn't he adorable? And I found him on petfinder.com, and so I called him. I called the shelter. And I asked a little bit more information about Caesar. And the girl who answered the phone was working at the desk. And she said, you know, I don't know how much I can tell you about his story, but can I maybe get some of your information, and then maybe we can call you back? And I said, that's fine. So I told her my phone number and gave her my information, and I said, well, listen, I'm a part-time pastor, and I'm also, to supplement my income, I walk dogs for a living. And she's like, oh, okay. And I said, I've wanted a dog for the last 3 years since I've been walking dogs. And if you can give me any more information about him, that'd be great. Now, I hung up the phone thinking, you know, maybe in a couple months I will maybe figure out if he's still there, I'll call. And if he's not, then that's okay. It is never meant to be. So I thought I would wait just a few more months. Well, 30 minutes later, I get a call from the director of the shelter, and she said, if you want to know anything about Caesar, you talk to me. And I thought, whoa, okay, she's really protective of this dog. And so I said, well, can you tell me any information about Caesar? And she says, yeah, I can. At one time, Caesar had a good owner. He is trained well, and he knows basic commands. He can sit, you sit. He can shake, he can go down. On a good day, he can go down. Turn around. Let's show him how you can do this. Sit. Shake. Down. Okay, and this is the one I taught him. This is a treat. I'm going to put it on his paw. Hey, sit, down. Lay down. Now you wait. Okay. 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 He did so much better in practice today. And she said he knows basic commands, because his owner, when he first started his life, was a good owner. Caesar's owner, in some part of his life, dropped Caesar off at a friend's house. And he told his friend, "I will be back in a couple days to pick him up." Well, a couple days went by, and then Caesar's owner didn't come and pick him up. A few weeks went by, and Caesar's owner didn't pick him up. And so Caesar had this new owner who really wasn't prepared for him. And on top of it, his new owner had another dog. It was a bigger dog. It was a stronger dog. And it was a pit bull. Now, I want to stop there for a moment, because I know pit bulls get a bad reputation in a lot of ways. I don't believe in bad dogs. I do believe, however, that if dogs are not properly trained, and properly socialized, that they can get out of hand. And I believe that the dog that was with Caesar was not properly socialized. And so there were times where him and Caesar, as an understatement, did not get along. Caesar got beat up. Now, I don't know how many times Caesar was attacked, and neither does the director. But when Caesar arrived to the shelter, he was in a cage, and part of his ear, if you can see, part of his left ear was ripped off. If you look in his mouth, one of his canine teeth is broken off, and it had to be pulled. So he only has three canines. And there was a puncture wound in his neck, because this other dog went for a kill shot in his throat. And so if you see on the picture there, his entire neck is shaved, and the puncture wounds are on the left side of the picture. It worked nicely that they kind of covered that up. But you can see his ear up there. And he got pretty beat up. And Caesar arrived, beat up and bloodied and bruised. And it intrigues me that to know that he once had a good life. But he ended up in a bad situation. At no fault of his own, he ended up in a situation where he didn't know what was going on or how to get out of it. And he was confused, and he was scared, and he was alone. He was a dog that had no hope, no peace, no joy, and didn't know what it was like to be loved. The shelter had the finances and the means to fix Caesar and clean him up. They sewed up his wounds, and they made sure his ear was cleaned properly. They pulled out his tooth. And after a few weeks of being in the shelter, the director began noticing Caesar's personality. He was gentle, and he did great with kids. This is a picture that was taken at the shelter. And right there, I cut off her face because I didn't think her face... Oh, he likes the dot. Here, we'll just show him. Yeah, he likes the dot. Okay. But there's a little girl there. She was 4, and it was one of the volunteers' children. And she was in this picture giving orders to Caesar. And she was literally making him jump through hoops. And he doesn't do that for me. But he was great with kids. And she found that he was great with older people as well. And so she started bringing him to the Living Assisted Center in town. And he did great with them. She used him as a therapy dog, even though he didn't have the license to be a therapy dog. and she used him as a shelter ambassador. It was obvious why she was protective of him. He was a good dog. But then she said to me, at one point in our conversation, she said, "Look, I heard that you were a pastor, and I heard that you were a dog walker. And I'm asking you to come and see Caesar for yourself." And then she said, "People come in, and they walk right past his kennel because they see his wounds, they see his scars, and they don't think he's a good dog. No one gives him a chance." And I told her that I'd be able to come, but it would be about a month due to my job schedule. But I asked her if she could put him on hold for me. And she said, "You know what? I can put him on hold for as long as you'd like." And then she pauses and she said, "Well, let me do one better for you. How about the next time I have a day off, my daughter and I will come, and we'll put Caesar in the car with us, and we'll come to you, and you can meet him for yourself, and you can see him in your own environment. And if you don't want him, at the end of the day, if you don't want him, I am happy to take him back to the shelter." She goes, "But if you do want him, I am also very happy to leave him here with you. I will bring the paperwork." A few weeks later, she and Caesar came, and Caesar didn't go home, or didn't go back to the shelter, because he was home. Caesar is a rescue, and I adopted him. He is now the official Union Congregational Church dog. He was actually officially installed by the regional office in Minneapolis. He has paperwork. The once beat up and broken dog, I believe, now knows hope and peace and joy and love because someone saw him and loved him and adopted him. There are many other dogs that have stories similar to Caesar's, and maybe your dog has a similar story to Caesar's. But I also believe that there are many people who have stories that are similar to Caesar. People go through what Caesar has been through. At one time, maybe they had a good life. They grew up really well. And it's nice, but at some point in time, by no fault of their own, they ended up in a bad situation. A situation that they didn't know how they got there, and they don't know how to get out of it. And they feel beat up and bruised and confused and scared and alone. They have no hope and no peace, no joy, no love. And maybe that is part of your story. But here's the amazing part of that. In the midst of our lack of hope and our lack of peace and our lack of joy and our lack of love, it is God who sees us. It is God who loves us, and it is God who adopts us. In the Bible, there is a book called Ephesians. It's written by an early church leader named Paul. And Paul writes, "God destines us for adoption as God's children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of God's will." It's God who adopts us through Jesus Christ, this baby that is born into this world, this baby, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, makes a way for us to be adopted by God. And we are now God's children. This once beat up and broken human being now knows hope and peace and joy and love because someone, and not just someone, but God, saw them and loved them and adopted them. My friends and the family of Union Congregational, may this Christmas be filled with the hope and the peace and the joy and the love of Jesus Christ. Know that you are good and you are loved. You are seen, you are loved, and you are adopted. There is nothing that you can do that is bad enough for God to look at you and say, I don't love you. You can do the worst thing that you can think of, and God still adores you and loves you because you are God's child. God has chosen to adopt you. I wish you and your family a very incredibly Merry Christmas. And in this time of season where you are celebrating together, know that God is there with you to bring you the joy and the peace and the love and the hope of this world. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Oh, I got to give you some instruction. Oh, wait, I'm skipping a bunch of stuff, ain't I? You know, for those of you who are with me every Sunday, I tend to do this. I forget things. Anyway, let us pray. God, we thank you for this time that we can come together and think of you during this time of season and to celebrate your gift of Jesus Christ. We ask that you surround us with your love and your mercy during this time as we gather with families, or maybe we gather with friends, or maybe we spend some time alone this year. God, wherever we are, know, show us and reveal you to us, that you love us. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. We are taking an offering tonight, and it is written in your bulletin. It's called the Christmas Fund, and everything that we take in tonight is going to the Christmas Fund, and it's a UCC ministry that helps care for the retired clergy and those who need emergency grants during this time of year, those who are from a lower income retirees. So that is where our offering is going this morning. And if my dog is wandering around, just please keep him inside somewhere. May the ushers please come forward for this evening's offering. Our last two songs will be O Come All Ye Faithful and Silent Night. And Silent Night is going to be sung a cappella. And during that time, we're going to have candle lighters, two come down this row and one down each row. And I'm assuming you all have candles. Okay, great. I'm going to ask that you light your candle off of theirs. They're not going to bend down to you because we don't want wax all over the floor. So please light your candle off of theirs as they come through. And we will sing Silent Night in a cappella. Now, Gabe, you're helping me. Do you want to be some candle lighters? Okay. And then, Joni, would you like to help me as well? Okay. Merry Christmas. Go in peace.